flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Gearing up for the big game? We are too. Join us on the Moth Podcast for a special episode dedicated to hilarious true stories about football, family, and growing up.
I loved Franco Harris so much that in 1975, I invited him to my bar mitzvah. And he was so cool that he actually sent me a telegram.
Each week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, and above all, true. Find the Moth Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
After research and study, the drones that were flying over New Jersey in large numbers were authorized to be flown by the FAA for research and various other reasons. Many of these drones were also hobbyists, recreational, and private individuals that enjoy flying drones. In time, it got worse due to curiosity. This was not the enemy. A statement from the President of the United States to start this briefing with some news. And with that,
That was big news. By the way, I'm watching here. Megyn Kelly is behind RFK Jr. To his left, though, it looks like Sarah Palin. At least she's a lookalike for her. But next time you see it come up here, I don't know. That might be kind of a bolstering. Is that Sarah Palin there? All right, Dawn Fantasia, Assemblywoman, Sussex County, is a go-to, writes memos that are just precise and long, detailed on all this stuff. The drone thing, though, unsatisfying. On Twitter, at DomShow1210, you can take the poll. Are you satisfied with this? That's all that we need to know. Now, remember, this isn't a past occurrence. It's still going on. Let's go to Dawn here on Talk Radio 1210. Dawn, welcome back. What do you say from drone land about this statement?
Well, hi, Dom. Happy Wednesday. Good to be here. I can say that I'm happy to hear that this was not adversarial, and this was the first hard confirmation as such. We were told that, right. They danced around it a bit in the prior administration, so that was the best news to come out of it. However, as you can imagine, many of us still have questions, especially those of us who live in the area. And, you know, the biggest question as I was thinking on this after the statement was released is, why on earth would the FAA restrict airspace over New Jersey if the answer was the FAA already authorized every flight for research and various other purposes? So that to me is incongruent. And then why did the Biden administration authorize additional equipment for drone detection for the state of New Jersey? And of course, the obvious question is research of what and what are these various other reasons? So, I mean, we know there's FAA experiments and research throughout the country. I think down in your listening area, the FAA Tech Center in Pomona conducts, you know, all kinds of research. And if it was something that wasn't classified, they can say, hey, this is happening over the skies. You'll see it, you know, and this is what it is. Or if it's classified, they can say it's classified.
Yeah.
The 177th Fighter Wing, I think, of the New Jersey Air National Guard is based there. And if they were doing something, you know, and we can see in the skies, the answer is yes, we're doing something. You're going to see maneuvers. But what we're doing is classified. That's perfectly fine. I mean, New Jersey is not out in the middle of the desert around Area 51 out in Nevada, where the existence of the facility was denied for decades, right? I mean, we're densely populated. We can see things in heavily populated areas, and we had questions and we had concerns.
Yeah, exactly right, Dawn. That's where I'm unsatisfied on this. Again, you got to put some, not only that, if it had happened, and this is the answer, Well, people move on, sadly, but it's still ongoing.
So. It is. It is. And, you know, the one other good thing that came out of it that, you know, I didn't get to this part yet in my head and thinking the process, but, you know, Congressman Van Drew, he came out and said the good news is that, you know, definitely shone a light on how far behind.
Yes.
Well, state of New Jersey was, right? But then the country on detection and whatnot, when everybody was kind of fumbling over each other. But again, my burning question that remains is, you know, FAA has complete control over the airspace. They have complete control. So why restrict airspace for different pockets of New Jersey if all of those flights of drones were authorized by the FAA? It's pointless. Why take on the expense to send additional equipment to New Jersey agencies to help determine? It's not a congruent, you know, line of questioning and answers.
No, definitely not. Dawn, we're in school choice week, and I'm a big fan of this, have been for years. But I got to say, with a lot of listeners, it doesn't move the needle as much as you might think. Now, you have history, as I do, in the education field, and you have a piece up, Unleashing Opportunity. You call for breaking barriers to school choice in New Jersey. We see Trump break through with Latino voters, for example, and they're a prime group that scores high in wanting school choice, but they don't seem to vote directly on that, even though your article and my own sense is this is the single biggest thing that would liberate the country. The public schools would have to comply or go under. God knows what would happen, but there would be mass exodus for many of them.
That is correct. You know, school choice in New Jersey, as much as we have options, there are so many barriers. You know, even if you look at the public charter school sector, we have one authorizer. You know, in 6 years, the Murphy administration did not even authorize one charter school with nearly 30,000 children on wait lists. And oftentimes, you know, they're locked by geography. And it is a combination of being strangled by special interest groups like the NJEA, who fight tooth and nail, who claim that money belongs to them. Hey, you know, traditional public schools, they already win the lottery when a parent pulls their kid out and homeschools the kid. Because you know who retains that money in that scenario?
They do, right. The school.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
So the parent doesn't even get a tax credit. So that school is reaping the benefits of that. But then, you know, along comes a charter and you hear frequently, oh, you know, you're stealing money out of the public school. I beg to differ.
But, Dawn, here's the question that I'm on, though, because I really value your judgment. Why does it not result in revolt? In other words, I don't think Latinos for Trump voted on schools and school choice. They voted on other things. Are they more open now to see if you continue voting for these people in the public school issue, then you're never going to be free? I mean, what does it take to get this final hurdle? Because if it happens, then America is not going back. It's a changed America.
Correct. You know what I think it is, to some degree, why it did not move directly to the forefront, let's say, across the country. New Jersey is unique in having a ridiculous, absurd school funding formula. But I think that when you look at, like, for instance, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you're concerned about food, water, air, shelter, right?
Right.
So you had people literally who could not feed their families, you know, could not afford to make their rent. Those issues flew right to the forefront, could not get a well-paying job. Those issues flew right to the forefront when you look at a hierarchy of needs. I think as these needs are being met by Trump policies, this will allow to move to the next level of needs, which is a quality, high quality, productive education for your child. But again, I think that this issue fell in the background because, again, not too many people are very concerned about their child's math performance when they're not eating, when they can't put food on the table, when they don't have safety in their community, when they don't have shelter. So I really think it would just ended up being an issue of priority.
Wanted to get your sense, particularly the child part of this, with RFK Jr. Aside from the debate over, you know, how unhealthy we are, there's no debate over that. But his proposals, it's pretty clear politically, this guy, if he stays in the right lanes, to me, Dawn, is a breakthrough, make America healthy again, to suburban moms, particularly, that waver back and forth. Maybe they'll vote for a Republican. Maybe they can see the light on some of these things. When he's on the good side of it, talking about those things, that's exactly what those moms want.
You could not be more spot on with that. I recall having a conversation with some of my, I call the middle of the road friends and some coworkers. One day we were having just a discussion when Kennedy was first making a determination. And I said, mark my words, if he endorses Trump and actually links up with him, that is the final push to get Trump across the finish line, mark my words. And they laughed at me and they said, he's never going to be able to move the needle. That's not a big enough issue. And it is a big enough issue. And it was a big enough issue. Was it the only issue? No. But did it help exponentially? Absolutely. And you will start to see a shift because, you know, Trump was the boogeyman, you know, when he ran in 2020, everybody, you know, on that side, you know, tried to instill fear and say, oh, he's going to do all these terrible things. You know, the suburban moms who were middle of the road kind of revolted to some degree. Now with a greater comfort level in seeing what he is doing, seeing that he is linking up with RFK, this is big. I think this is very, very big. I think RFK is an incredible complement to the president's agenda.
Without a doubt. Where did we find you, Dawn? Where should we go to see the various Sussex County shenanigans that seem to go on a lot?
You mean social media wise?
Yes, yes, yes.
I'm on X at Dawn Fantasia, and then an underscore NJ, and then also on Facebook, it would be Assemblywoman Dawn Fantasia. So I usually cross post there. Sometimes there's different content, you know, depending on what it is on both of those. But that's great. Thank you.
You have an all time great political name. So I have to ask, is Fantasia your married name or is it your name before that?
No, Fantasia is my name by birth. Yeah, my dad is a Fantasia, and I come from a long line of Fantasias from Naples, Italy.
But Dawn and Fantasia, I mean, that's just...
I gotta ask now, we have a doctor on the station, Molly Fantasia. Any relation there?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm sorry, who comes on?
Is there a Molly Fantasia in the family by chance?
There is a Molly Fantasia. She's actually an art teacher, and that is my sister-in-law. She's married to my brother.
Okay. Well, there's a doctor named Molly Fantasia here that comes on the station.
Do you like the film Fantasia?
Definitely. Definitely.
All right, Dawn. Thank you, Dawn. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Dawn Fantasia. I remember we told Seamus McCaffrey. That was such a great name in Philadelphia, political name. Dominic Joseph Giordano. DJG.
You really do the Giordano, when you go down the shore, you look to the right, there's like a farm.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Yeah. I point it out to Roe every time. Why doesn't that guy come on as a sponsor?
He should. There's
the
no
Giordano's
relation.
Farms.
No, it's not a family farm?
Yeah, we'll broadcast from big family. We'll broadcast right there from the farm. Whatever he produces, we'll be eating.
Yeah, before Jeremy Clarkson did it, you bought a farm yourself.
There
you've been living there for a couple years now.
Yeah. 855. Is that Dom's place? They'll be driving. 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. We'll play a little bit more sound from RFK Jr. By the way, Victoria Coates is going to join us at 2:30. Just the best on national security. The Gabbert and the Cash Patel hearings start tomorrow. I don't think they'll be as explosive as this. But also President Trump saying construction will start in the next month or two. On the Iron Dome. That's what Israel has. Now, we had Star Wars. This is even bigger. I think we could shoot something down, but maybe only one at a time. Is that doable? Well, it's good to take a look at it. All right, phone lines. Get in on the side question, too. 855-839-1210. All right, it is Dom time. Coming to the calls here, but Dan, it might be worth it. You guys have gotten a lot of sound today, but this one... Schumer talking about arousal. I've never seen people as aroused as they are. They're very aroused, Democrats. Remember I told you bleeding through this entire thing here with RFK Jr. at large part? They keep on going back to the Medicaid portal. They keep on going back to Trump freezing the federal government spending at the broad level, but not individuals can access it. And they think they were flatlining, but now they're aroused. Not only are they awake, but they're aroused. Do you have Schumer there yet, Dan? I can see you smiling, so you must hear what I'm hearing. Talking about being aroused. Schumer. Democrats are believing this is the issue for them now. They're going to ride this freezing of the continued government spending until early in February.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time in terms of going, trying to get this done. So, yes, I think democracy will have an effect, and we are going to keep at it. We're going to keep at it legally. We're going to keep at it legislatively. But we're also going to keep at it in terms of the grassroots. Thank you, everybody. People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Elizabeth Warren's aroused. You can tell she's getting beers there. Bernie Sanders is aroused. I'm seeing him in this debate. Oh, my God.
Thanks for gracing us, this is
a great drop. Thank you, Chuck Schumer.
Aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
I didn't ask for this.
Is he aroused? We'll see. Oh, my God. The wife of...
sadly, can't look in the mirror and see it, apparently.
Of RFK Jr.
Aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Is having a little trouble staying awake. I mean, it's got to be growing. Megyn Kelly looks perky, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
how
yeah.
perky?
Yeah,
she people
looks,
are aroused.
There you go. Yeah, Schumer, Megyn Kelly's here.
I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Schumer's poor wife.
What he's expressing here, really, though, is...
You are a lush, I can tell by looking at you.
People are aroused.
They have found something now to penetrate Trump, so to speak.
Hey, now.
Yeah, there we go.
People are aroused.
They think this is going to work. This federal free. They think America's going to revolt. So they're out there telling everybody the world is ending. Here's Scott Jennings last night.
I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Here is Scott Jennings.
Take that thing out. Unhook it.
Where is Scott? Oh, yeah. On the aid freeze. Cut 14, Dan. Here's what he said last night on CNN.
They had to go out on a limb. Kids sponging off the government in exchange for food so they can get through a school day.
Not the greatest political argument, is it? You know, I have a few thoughts on this. Number one, I assume when this all happened, it would get sorted out in court. That's obviously process is underway. Not uncommon. Joe Biden had to have a few things sorted out in court, too. Pretty common thing. Number two, I didn't realize we were but 12 hours from full societal collapse after one government decision. I had no idea, but I appreciate the briefing. Number three, I think the American people are appalled at the amount of money that goes out the door every year. And it seems to be on autopilot, and it seems to be without political oversight. And I do think one of the lessons from the election was, can we get a little bit of political oversight over the unelected bureaucracy? And that is what they are attempting to do. Do I ultimately believe a lot of this is going to be walked back? Yes. Do I think members of Congress are going to draw attention to things that are quite necessary and quite useful? Absolutely. Will it take a few days to iron out? More than likely. But I do think there's a little bit of overreaction on the left today because Donald Trump and his people decided to exercise a little bit of political oversight, and which I think the American people
want.
All right, so you heard Schumer, you hear Scott Jennings, and you hear the arousal. Let's go to Richard in Westchester. All right, Richard, you're one of the under 40% now. I'm trying to drive the number down under 30 next. Why did you vote? You're satisfied.
Can I just make a suggestion, though,
yes, go
for
ahead.
Fort Henry or Dan? Have them go to Grok and have them describe a aroused Chuck Schumer and draw me a picture of it.
Okay.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time in terms of going, trying to get this.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, God. There's so many jokes. When was the last time he went to Epstein's Island?
People are aroused.
We can do this all day if you want, man.
Oh, yeah. So
I
continue.
Can go all day with us. Anyway, yeah.
Get away from me, you crumb.
You were the 40%. Why?
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you. For now, I accept this explanation only for the fact that it's not a foreign actor. And we do have some that it's probably ours. And I assume that I know Trump, and he's been straight with us before, that he'll get and fill in the blanks. But I think they just want to let us know that it's not a foreign actor here.
All right, but the thing is...
And I'm happy to wait for a further
exploit. Yeah, Richard, the thing is this, though. I mean, I think they saved it up a bit to make some dramatic statement yesterday at our news conference, and I get the drama of it. But he's been in there 9 or 10 days. Susie Wiles is unbelievable. The people, I have not met her, but Jim Worthington and others have told me on the inside as far as being on top of things.
I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
But... They have to bring in the FAA and say, what the hell are you doing? They got to make them tell them, at least, so that then they can tell us. And if that's not happening, I don't understand.
May I say one other thing? I fly my own drone.
Right.
And I live near an airport, and it's a DJI. It's a Chinese drone. And I can't have my drone take off if it's near this airport. It prevents that... That prevents the drone from taking off. China, the DJI company, a week before the inauguration, took all those parameters off. So, therefore, I, as a private drone owner, can fly my drone anywhere, including over an airport.
Wow.
So that's just some information.
Thank you, Richard. Thank you very much. I can't believe the lookalike. I don't think it's Sarah Palin. I've interviewed Sarah Palin up close, and her daughter blocked me. She was touring the country going to historical sites. And the Dan Borowski of that point, Mr. Aviso, was pretty clever. We were down at Independence Hall, and we saw them lifting one chain up like a block away. And that told, you know, they had the chain. We didn't think she had high heels. She was going to step over them.
People are aroused.
All the media is moving toward one spot, and we... crawl over to this other where the chain is down a little bit. Sarah Palin comes right up to me. I asked her something, and the daughter didn't like it and blocks me.
Really?
And some people on conservative social media said, who is this jackwagon there trying to bother Sarah Palin?
Wow.
And I was asking her about the city of Philadelphia and the whole deal. So
I would love to see a video. I wonder
I've seen her up close. The woman is like a bookish-looking Sarah Palin. Oh, it's a pretty close.
I don't see it. Where do you see?
Right in front of Megyn Kelly.
Right in front of Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a look. You'll see it. But, and if you've seen Sarah Palin in person, she's much more attractive. She's
haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
All right, Chuck. Come on now, Chuck. The arousal level. Let's go to Nancy Pelosi on this. All right. Let's go to Scott in Mount Laurel. Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Scott.
I tell you, I've heard this sort of arousal could lead to insurrection.
People are aroused.
Oh, my God.
I had it.
Not bad. Not bad. Yeah.
I think it's interesting that, by the way, Susie Wiles, I don't know if you know this, she's Pat Summerall's daughter.
Yes, we do know. Really? That was talked about before. Oh, yeah. And Scott, I'm kind of surprised. She's on top of things. It's a pretty mediocre statement to make. Given, that people are very afraid of this and interested in it.
Yeah, well, I guess there's only so much information they want to give out. I certainly like to hear more information at some point. And then, like your last guest says, doesn't really add up. It doesn't line up too well. She says not that congruent. So we'll see. I guess in time, maybe more will come out.
Well, the best post that I've gotten, Scott, said, don't tell us what it's not. Just tell us what it is. And if you have to say, well, it's super secret, we can't divulge any more than that. Okay, I guess we'll have to live with it. But this appears to be the FAA just doesn't want to tell us anything.
Yeah, I didn't know what the FAA was involved in that kind of stuff. But I mean, if they're in charge of flights around the country and basically, normal travel, I don't see why it would be a secret as to what they were researching. So that's why I'm kind of a little more curious than I was before, even. But the other thing, I find it interesting that the two that seem like they're going to have a hard time getting across the finish line potentially are RFK and Tulsi Gabbard. And I think it's because the Democrats are going after them the hardest, because the worst thing that can happen to them is have one of their main narratives undermined. The idea that Trump and his administration were a bunch of right-wing extremists. If we have two Democrats working in our administration and we show that we can work across party lines that way, that really undermines their narrative.
Oh, yeah. Well, let me ask you about RFK while you're here, Scott. I don't know if you have kids, but used to be, I'm looking at the debate today, and the one that I would pull out of all this where we actually have something we know about on vaccines is measles. And RFK Jr. over the past doesn't like the measles vaccine. wants to rework this or something. I don't know that the measles vaccine, A, has caused damage to kids. And B, though, I don't know when we started thinking we have to do that. Kids routinely got measles in the past.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, do we still give the, I guess we still give the, it's an MMR or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he would have to make the case for, look, just like we're doing with the budget, I don't see a harm in reexamining things that we've kind of taken for granted and looking over things. But in the end, he would have to make a case that was compelling. And I think you mentioned this yesterday, Trump has to be the guardrail with Kennedy because we want a lot of what he brings. But, you know, it's kind of like with Jalen Hurts, you know, we want you to do this, but don't throw it into trouble. Don't take, you know, the bad sack, you know, put the guardrails on him, but get the positives out of him.
That's what he's all about. He's a vehicle. He's a vessel to do that. And I think the mistake is, look, we know the mistakes made with COVID, lack of information, myocarditis. With kids, you have basketball players, you know, healthy kids getting it 15 to 19. But that doesn't mean we ought to go back and get rid of the polio vaccine or something. You can look at it, but I mean, yeah.
And I don't see any way that he would ever even try to do that because it would be the end of his career as in that kind of a position. I think, that, you know, you have to have some public support to do these things. And that's the other thing. Does he have what kind of autonomy does he have in that position? Or is that something that would have to go through some other channel or vote? Or, I mean, can the president just eliminate vaccines? I mean, I don't know the answer to that.
He could issue federal orders. He just issued a federal order saying the federal government now is banning or involvement in so-called gender-affirming surgery and the like. Now, that's the federal government. It'll go to court. I don't know if the state level, can you do it? I'm a little unclear. These will be, that just came down in the last 24 hours.
But I think ultimately that's going to have to go through Congress if it's going to be federal or it's going to have to go through states. I mean, I don't see a president being able to just make a law by, an executive order. I mean, maybe a temporary thing, but so I don't know. I think that if we only want people that agree with us on everything, we're going to be a very small minority party. We have to be able to work with people where we can. And I think in this case, RFK fits that mold where we want the health stuff. And it's great politics for us to have a Democrat as part of our administration. And we just keep the guardrails. He doesn't do anything crazy. And if he does, we reel him back in.
That's the plan. What's your side question today?
My side question is instant replay has been a huge game changer in sports.
Yeah.
There were so many plays that you'd leave the game saying, oh, my God, that team won the game, but they didn't. They got stuck, you know, because the call was wrong. If anything, the only thing I would do is I would expand instant replay. I hate the fact that not everything is challengeable. They give you only three challenges. There's no reason you shouldn't be able to use it on whatever you want. And I'll go further than that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
I'm going to go one step further, is that you should be able to even challenge calls they didn't call. Because right now you can only challenge a call they make. But let's say the other team gets a 60-yard touchdown and it was an obvious holding. You should be able to challenge that. Say, hey, he held. Bring it back.
Sounds like a coach we're talking to.
You know what this is getting close to, and some of you love it, the computer calling balls and strikes, etc.
Robot ump?
The robot ump. I'm going to be out there protesting, laying down in front of that. No way, no robot umps.
I'm for making everything reviewable, but that's one step too far. Is like, oh, that should have been a foul. No.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we're headed.
We want to check in on Washington, Don? Take a listen.
Let's hear.
Don Trump incited the erection. People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
They were into that because of the insurrection. We got wrecked in there somewhere, and the
Donald
arousal.
John Trump incited the erection.
Did he actually say that at that time? He didn't say insurrection. He meant to say
insurrection. Oh, and then he clarifies. And says, that was a while back. And then he says,
yeah, it was, yeah.
And he says,
insurrection. Against the United States.
Was he aroused? Who was aroused?
I think a lot of people, Dom.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time. Erection.
Thank you, Chuck Schumer. You will be here on our soundboard forever. You have a place carved out. All right, more of your calls coming up at 855-839-1210. That's how you get in with Dom on Talk Radio 1210. Let me tell you, looking forward to this Saturday, Diane Cardano back with us. Don't forget the big event. It's free. It's a great breakfast, great information. You and I will have a chance to talk about everything in the world. And Diane is going to be talking about empty nesters, selling your home in 2025, the housing market, which is changing very fast. Diane Cardano from Cardano Realtors wants to help you stay ahead of the shifting real estate market and increase the value of your home. Diane is hosting this free breakfast seminar this Saturday morning, February 1st. I think it starts around 8:30. I'm usually there about 8:15. It's right off 309 Turnpike, the Hilton Garden Inn in Fort Washington. You'll learn how to tackle the uncertain market with rising inventory, fluctuating interest rates, low-cost ways to stage your home. Nobody stages your home better than Diane Cardano, and lots of other insights. As I said, I'll be there, and Diane will be signing copies of her new book, Model Home Mindset. You don't want to wing it when you're selling your home, even if it's a couple years down the road. This is a good opportunity. Pop over, get the information. Diane does all the homework. You get your home sold for top dollar. Again, it's free. All you have to do is let her know you're coming. Call 215-576-8666 or do the same thing online. 215-576-8666.com. I'll see you this Saturday morning around 8:15, 8:30 at the Hilton Garden Inn. All right, Dom Giordano Show. What's in the air? It's not just Chuck Schumer. Joy Behar on The View today says that the senators lack the testicularity.
Oh.
If that's a word, let's look that up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
Well, let's ask Schumer about it.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
But the testicularity isn't there. Required to oppose Trump nominees. And I know people would find this hard to believe. Fox had the biggest January, not that part, in the history of cable news. The first time. Dan, we should get her on, if possible, again. The host of the 12 o'clock show on Fox. First time they won over The View. Now, you're probably thinking, wait a minute. Well, you know how hard it is cable to beat, as bad as it is, broadcast TV. They actually are beating The View now. Wow, that's tough. The View's ABC, right? So Fox beating network TV. That's pretty difficult, all right? But it's happening. Usually, post-election, you know, there's a downturn. People tune into something else. But this January with Trump has been something we've never seen before.
I really think it's a, you know, the old Howard Stern adage where he had in private parts, the time spent listening, people hate him more, spending more time listening. You always tell us a great story of a listener that you had.
Yes. Bugle Boy.
Yeah, Bugle Boy. I didn't know if you wanted me to mention the name. But I really wonder if after the election, a lot of liberals are even tuning into Fox News knowing that that's where they're going to get the most coverage of Trump. So, you know, that maybe they can infuriate themselves a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. But beating The View. Wow.
It's a Harris Faulkner, Emily Campagno, and Kayleigh McEnany.
Yeah, Harris Faulkner is the one we've had on. Yeah, well, let's see if she'll come on. Talk about that's a big win. All right, I want to talk about something. I had a conversation with a guy, Walter, yesterday, who's real down to earth and not political on anything. This Temple student who died, I guess it was yesterday, sadly, who fell off the pole of a lighting pole in downtown Philadelphia. Now, the police have said, and I hate to be critical of this, that they were trying to protect people tearing down stuff like that versus climbing up. But look, these are morons, and we still have the Super Bowl. If they win the Super Bowl, it's even more. You could take the Cavalier. This guy was a gymnast. And somebody who was into health and fitness, public health, that's a career he was going to go into, and he falls from that. Dan, am I out of line to say, and I know you can be a cynic and just say, hey, well, if they do that and they die, so what? I'm not letting them get climbing up on those poles. I'm not allowing it. There were enough cops there. How many poles could there be? 15 to 20. That are in the epicenter where they're going to go. I'm not talking about Mayfair for a moment. Just leave that out. I'm talking about downtown Philadelphia is where he died. Can you cover those poles? Is it a priority to do that? Or do we take the stance, hey, if you die, that's on you? I'm just asking bluntly, can we get it right for you? What do you say, Dan? Is it it's on you? If you do it, you die.
I think at this point, I mean, how else do you prevent it, though?
You put a cop at the pole.
But how many cops? There's so many poles that there's
only about 15 to 18 to 20 poles. It's only like a three block by.
As someone who was down participating in the festivities Sunday night, the police were more concerned about keeping people off the sidewalks rather than climbing poles.
Right.
So that's, it wasn't.
Why?
I don't know.
They that's
your
strategy.
Jacked up my friend for trying to walk on the sidewalk.
Yeah, well, I'm asking, if we want to say, hey, if you do this and you die, it's on you, okay, publicly say it. I like the police chief. We've had him in studio. But you know what? On this one, you stop from going up the pole. I just wouldn't let people climb up the poles in my city. No, you're not going to do it.
I think if you grease them, they didn't do that this time. If you grease them,
it's ineffective.
If you make an effort to put a deterrent there and people still get past the deterrent,
so you wouldn't you wouldn't put a cop there.
No, because I think that's a waste of manpower in my opinion.
Well, they're also viewing though. If trouble starts, the cop is not just stationed at a pole. I mean, he can intercede if there's trouble there.
I understand what you're saying.
So are you saying there's too many poles? There's 20 or so that I would think are there, maybe. In the epicenter of where we are.
I mean, you could have them stationed at all the poles. I don't think it's going to make a difference. I really don't. I think people would find a way up no matter how you did it. Even if you put them there, someone would do something over there, they climb up on something else, whether it's a pole, a building, like a dump truck, like a lot of people on dump trucks the other night.
Okay.
Some people, who knows?
Well, I mean, I don't understand what they were protecting. He said they were protecting the people tearing down poles. I'm just at a loss.
Take them out of the ground when they did win the Super Bowl, back in 2018.
Well, the cop can be doing that, too. I mean, I just find this whole thing to be cavalier. I get the celebration part of this, but you have people doing stuff like this, firing a gun, doing God knows what.
Dumb.
Well, it's what they're doing because they're allowed to get away with it. So, you wouldn't put the cop then guarding the pole?
Well, I would. You know, I don't think it's a bad idea. I just don't know how much it's going to work. Like, I'm also in favor of greasing the poles, even though it's ineffective. I think it still deters at least some people from doing it rather than, it's not like people are going to not accept the challenge of climbing a pole because it's not greased anymore. I think it just encourages more to do it.
That's the other thing. Put me in charge. I'll be looking at. I am not going to let you get up on that. I'm going to search the world. You're not getting up on that pole.
I'm getting up on that pole, Don.
Yeah, well,
Sunday.
How
I'm going
about
up there.
At the next Mulligan's Remote? Yeah. We have Dom protect a pole, Henry try to climb a pole.
Okay, there you go.
Chinese pole fighting.
Right, we'll get the Odyssey lawyers in there. I'd love to hear from people. Everybody, it's so sad. It is. But you see something like this in front of you, are you going to prevent it or not? If you want to say, nope, we're not. Idiocy is going to happen. He's 21 years of age. He's dead. Now, the other idiot that did the backflip off a car or whatever, you can't prevent that, definitely. 855-839-1210. I was just surprised at the police. And again, I hate to go back to Frank Rizzo all the time, but I think Frank Rizzo would say, nope, you're not climbing up those poles. That means the cop would grab you, arrest you when you start to climb up the pole. That's what's going to happen. And I mean physically arrest you. No playing around.
Yeah, and I think it depends on how many poles there are. It really does. Because you're saying like 15 to 20. I'm trying to think in my head. I think there might be more than that.
Well, it's really maybe Broad Street.
We're talking Broad Street around City Hall.
You got about three blocks or so of it. I think there's enough.
I think it's way more than three blocks.
You guys think any fault lies with the Eagles?
In what way?
Well, you think about it. They have the tailgate.
Yeah.
They keep the parking lots open throughout the game. Dawn made the point yesterday that there are so many kids walking that we had a caller call in that is one of the RV, bus guys and says it's just during the game, it's kids that are 18, younger sometimes, walk in the parking lots trying to scour for drinks, almost like they're on a hunt for some alcohol that they can get. You know, is it the responsibility of the Eagles to kind of prevent the tailgating to spiral out of control and have all this underage drinking at all? Because, I mean, how Henry, how many people out there on broad are, you know, 20 plus? Are they mostly, like, teenagers and all? Or
I'd say it was a lot of, younger people, young adults, 18 to 21 range.
I'm like, why are they drunk? Because you know alcohol is in play here, right?
Oh, yeah, without
and
a doubt.
I wouldn't think that they can go into a bar, well, unless they have the fake ID, which is very common, you know. But
I would say the whole thing is preposterous to me. It's not just having fun. It's ridiculous. And now you have a person dead. It doesn't seem to be that big of a headline, that big of a deal, Dan, to your point. It's like you're spoiling the party if you say, look at this.
Why is it ridiculous?
To do what? What do you mean?
Well, you just said it was ridiculous. What's ridiculous? Climbing the poles or?
A lot of the stuff. Firing a gun in the air, climbing the poles.
I think firing the gun, that's way too far. But I don't know. I think the poles it's a good vantage point to get up there to see everything. You're talking like when they won the last time. I was up there. I was up on a pole myself.
Oh,
it was a great view.
Oh, wow! It all comes to life. We got a pole climber.
All right. So he was. That's what Greg Stocker said. This guy climbed a pole. Heck of a producer. Now it comes out.
I wonder what Schumer thinks about that.
Henry, what made you? Would you do it now based upon this kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, come on, dude.
Look, it's not like I
recognize how dangerous this is.
Sure, but like
the guy's a gymnast, and look at what happened.
Yeah, I recognized it then that it was dangerous. I held on for dear life. It's not like I wasn't.
So were you
careful.
On a pole this past weekend?
No.
Okay.
No.
Let's not hang it on.
You're going to have a hell of a story on that one.
They kind of blocked off the sidewalks, and obviously the poles are on the sidewalk, so you couldn't really get up there anyway. So wherever those poles were, I don't know what part of the street that was.
Okay.
They seem pretty blocked off for the most part.
We did have a producer here that witnessed in the fall that led to this critical injury, though.
Who was the producer?
Justin.
Justin did.
Yeah,
what did he say about it?
Just said he was there, and there was just a complete gasp of, you know, the air came out.
Right.
Outside, obviously. And he said people around there instantly knew there was something drastically wrong there.
Well, I would put it this way. When I said ridiculous to Henry, you got a 21-year-old, this kid at Temple, right? Fired up over the Eagles, alcohol involved, et cetera. Got to protect him from himself. I stand on that. If you want to be a city or a society that says, no, you don't let anything happen, well, then just say it. That's what I'd like to hear. I think it's ineffective by the police. I do. I don't care what it takes. I wouldn't let you climb the pole is what it comes down to. Dan, where do you come
from? So wait, the reason behind climbing these poles, Henry, is the vantage point?
No, it's not.
I think partially.
It's to say to your buddies, I climbed a pole.
I mean, it's also a good picture you can look back on.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The picture of myself is very nice.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, like being up there and just looking out at the crowd, the sea of, you know, thousands upon thousands of people. It's a really cool sight.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm 6'8". I don't need to climb a pole.
All right. Sorry. We're all not we're not gigantic people. Sorry.
All right. 855. What gets revealed in talk radio?
I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
I always say it's a confessional. You never know what will come up here. All right. So 855-839-1210. You can comment on this. More calls coming up. And at 2 o'clock, we'll talk with Colonel Alan West. Live brewing there. On Talk Radio 1210.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
You're a creep.
How many people are going to weigh in here on the arousal factor with Chuck Schumer? That last half hour is a blur, my Schumer. Henry on a pole.
You're going to have a hell of a story on that one.
All right, let's go to Chris in Downingtown. All right, Chris, what would you do in the great pole controversy?
Well, I would just like you have a have a bird feeder, and they put those shrouds that, you know, squirrels can't go up. Some do get by, but if squirrels are much smarter than those people climbing the poles after an Eagles game anyway. But if you did it with barbed wire or something, they're not going over that. You know, put them on before. You could put them on the day before.
Right.
Take them off the day after. So
go ahead,
that's
Dan.
My thought.
No, it's not a bad idea. I was going to endorse it, I think.
Well, I would endorse it, but I don't know what the lawyers would say.
That's true.
Yeah,
you know. Imagine the lawsuits that come from that.
Well, I mean, it's a protective type of thing. I just don't understand, Chris, and not made that way, with all due respect to everybody, I'm not letting you do it. I'm saying point blank something about it. I'm just saying you're not going to do it whatever I have to
do. I got an idea. You know how, like, when you bring your dog to the vet and they get stitches and they have to put that cone around their head? How about you do, like, a reverse cone on all the light poles? I'm serious.
Exactly.
Do a reverse cone and then they can't scale
it,
right?
Make it out of plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's going to sue? What do you think the lawsuit from the family is to the against the city is going to be for not keeping their son safe.
Oh.
You're allowed to climb poles, I guess, you know? It's
like, yeah, exactly. Thank you. Beth on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Beth, how do you see it in Berwyn?
Hey, well, I'm in Berwyn, it's a little more civilized, maybe. But in South Philly, when I was a little girl, my father used to take us to the Italian market. And they would grease the pole down with, I guess, some kind of pig fat.
Yeah.
And then they would climb up, and there would be $100 bills hanging up there. And the big, big wheels of cheese, you know, like a provolone tied up with rope.
Yeah, they do it every year. They do have that. But, you know, you got to sign a waiver.
Oh, so it actually originates with these Italians down there.
Blaming the mob again. Here we go again, Beth.
I didn't say anything about the mob.
They do get away with a lot, those Italians. Right?
Oh, you're not. Wait, Beth, I thought you were Italian.
She's Irish, I think.
Oh,
yes.
This. Oh,
my name. Anyway, love your show. Love you guys.
Thank you.
One thing I should just postscript. I'm looking out my window here out of my home office, wink, wink, in case my boss is listening. I go into my office a lot, but the Eagle flag just blew out.
Oh.
Oh. All right. We got to get on that.
So that could be it. That's a sign of good luck, right?
People are aroused.
Thank you very much, Beth. All right, Colonel Alan B. West is next. What does he think of some of these proposals? The military, we have the trans order. We also have the issue of Trump saying he wants an Iron Dome. We'll get to that. But you can get in on this local situation. Is it something where you say you can't do anything about it? That I don't accept. If you don't want to, I can accept that. You're just saying, hey. It's your risk. If anything happens, the only problem is taxpayers pay for that. This family is going to sue, and a jury in Philadelphia will pay them. I don't think they ought to do that. Why? You're going to hear all the arguments that we're talking about. So what do you do? 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.